Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. I don't know if you listening can feel the emotional buzz through your airwaves, but perhaps you can hear a little bit of a different sound today. We're in a different place. We're not broadcasting from our normal studio. We have traveled, as we do every year, to the Vermont State House in Montpelier to bear witness to an annual event, the return of the legislature to the Golden Dome. It's always a little bit of an exciting day as lawmakers return. There are people bustling through. It's not as exciting as opening day of the session. This is the second year of the biennium, so it's a little bit more down to business, but still pretty exciting. You know, the city beyond the State House also comes to life with the return of the legislature. At Capitol Grounds, a coffee shop just down the street, patrons say, for the most part, they like having their elected representatives so close. And coffee shop owner Bob Watson says, even with lawmakers in town for the next few months, they're not as big a boon to his business as you might think.
Maybe they're tending to business. That would be great. We do see them, but limited. Legislators come in early in the morning, usually beginning of the session. As the session goes on, they tend to stay closer to the State House. We do have a few regulars that stop in early in the morning to get a cup of coffee. Montpelier has the advantage of lobbyists and protests. I mean, you can see 400 or 500 people, 1,000 people out here.
I really love living in Montpelier, especially during the legislative season, because everything is right here. You can walk into your government and talk to not only your representative, but everybody else from the state, or you'll see them at restaurants or here getting coffee. And in the winter, having, you know, January, February, March, and April are miserable. And having them here and having all of the buzz and the extra people in town is wonderful.
It's great they're right here in town where you can pay attention, and I do, to important things, especially over time what happened in education, of course, my taxes, stuff like that.
There's a lot that happens around the legislature, so it may not be legislators that fill all the voids, but there are a lot of support people with lobbying firms, you know, attorneys' offices, people that have important causes they want to advocate for. And it's one of those places you can be, you know, in line at the deli line at Pinky's, you know, waiting to order your sandwich and have the Supreme Court justice or the governor. That's kind of the fun of it, is where you just get to connect with people in legislature and in state government at a very personal level. It's fun.
That was Bob Watson, Ellen Cheney, Newton Baker, and Tim Heaney offering thoughts on how locals feel about the influx of lawmakers, lobbyists, and others this time of year into Montpelier. But let's talk about what actually happens in the State House. This hour, we're going to explore what it's like in this building when the legislature is in session, and we'll also chat with some of Vermont's most senior and most junior lawmakers. But we're going to start with VPR's own Bob Kinzel to help us set the scene. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jane.
All right, so you know, perhaps better than anybody, what happens on opening day of the legislature. What happened this morning?
So this morning, the House and Senate came in at around 10 o'clock, and they had bills introduced. They had 160 bills introduced in the Senate. That takes a little while to go. And in the House, House Speaker Mitzi Johnson gave a little speech about her goals for the session. She wants to address issues like income inequality and climate change. She wants every committee in the House to look at climate change and see how they might be involved in finding a solution. So it's a little bit different in the second year. You know, you've got all these bills that have been held over from last year. Committees are going right to work this morning, and we're going to see that with the marijuana bill, the House Judiciary Committee taking a look at that bill right now. And this afternoon, it's very likely they will vote that bill out and have it on the floor tomorrow morning for action. So it's bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, and that is different from the first day of the session, on the first year of the session, which definitely comes along with more pomp and circumstance. More families were there to see their family member installed as a new lawmaker. There was, however, in the Senate, new old senator, re-sworn in, Randy Brock, back in the Senate. We haven't seen him in a few years.
That's right. He served in the Senate previously, also Iowa State Auditor, and he was very interested in coming back and will be an important voice for the Republicans in the Senate. And, you know, on the first day of the opening of the session, there's a lot of circumstance and pageant, as you mentioned. And at that point, members of the House don't even have seats. And so it takes them a day or two just to get organized, find their seat assignment, what committee are they going to serve on. This is hitting the ground running right now, and there are a lot of big issues that will come up in this session. So I think lawmakers are feeling like they want to get going on this stuff right now.
I sat in the Senate chamber or above the Senate chamber to see that chamber's proceedings this morning. Quite short, you know, matter of fact, read the bills that are on the table, reassign a few people since Randy Brock is back in the Senate. And then they went into sexual harassment prevention training. This seems like a big topic at the State House this year, much as it is around the country. Do you sense something different, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. It's a very important topic. The training, as you mentioned, is going on. And I think both the House and the Senate are going to look at the procedures that they have in place right now. Right now, the House has a special committee that looks at sexual harassment issues, and the Senate does as well. Now, we know who serves on those committees, but otherwise it's a very, very secret process. And the question is that the way it should be? So both the House and the Senate are going to take a look at how do we operate with this when charges are made? Should they be made public? If the allegations are proven not to be true, should that be made public? So there's going to be a very strong examination to make this process as transparent as possible.
And in fact, Speaker Johnson, Mitzi Johnson, in her opening remarks to the House, talked about this and said this is a priority for her this session.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, the time has come for the legislature to deal with this head on. And I expect that both the House and Senate will absolutely do that.
Do you get a sense that it has not been a good place for women, or that there is perhaps a little bit more under these ornate carpets than people would like to admit?
All I know is some of the stories that I hear, and there have been problems. You know, behavior that you would not expect in the Vermont State House was here. And maybe it's a generational thing, but I've been appalled at some of the things that I have heard. In fact, Speaker Johnson talked about that about a month ago and said when she was chairwoman of the House Appropriations Committee, there was somebody in the House who she didn't feel safe with in that room. So she had to avoid that person. So this is still happening, and it needs to be addressed.
Well, it sounds like it will be this session. Bob, we're going to have you back at the end of the hour with Pete Hirschfeld to talk a little bit about some of the other issues that lawmakers will be discussing and debating this session. Bob, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
This is VPR's live broadcast from the State House today. We are in the Cedar Creek Room in Montpelier as the legislature reconvenes for the second half of the biennium. And all hour today, we're going to be talking with lawmakers, with people who make the building run. We're trying to get a sense of what it's actually like here in Montpelier, and particularly in the State House as the legislature returns, and as this place that is, you know, pretty much always open to the public suddenly becomes a place where a lot of business is being done. I'm joined now by Representative Alice Emmons, a Democrat from Springfield who was first elected in 1982, and Senator Dick Mazza, a Democrat from Colchester, who was first elected to the state Senate in 1984, and he was elected to the House even earlier in 1972 and 74. You two are the deans of the Vermont legislature. Thank you so much for being with us on Vermont Edition.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. We don't have white hair yet.
Very spry.
We're so young.
I understand, though, that you do both get a parking spot.
Yes, one of the perks. Yeah,
yes.
Thank God for that.
And I'm not giving it up.
No.
One of the perks. Are there others?
Not many.
No, that seems to be it, I guess. But that's fine. That's we're just one of the members. That's
we're one
great.
Of the members,
that's right.
And you know, a lot of times
the way it should be.
Yeah, I just forget about. I just don't even think about them.
No,
that you're the most senior, so you don't lord it over people.
No. Someone reminded me last year that I was dean.
I think it was me.
Yeah, probably you. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think about that because Bill Doyle was there so many years.
Yeah, right.
And Senator Doyle, and it just was automatic. And then when he didn't return, so I didn't.
So you took
Didn't do the math, and all of a sudden I figured it out, yeah.
Where is your parking spot? Because I have to say, I'm jealous of that. Parking in Montpelier, you know, on some days is a tricky business.
Well, it's right in the lineup out here.
It's right outside the by the State House. It's where all the other legislators park,
right.
But we do have
assigned.
Assigned.
Yeah.
And that's always been there from the time I was new here. It was known that the deans would have their own parking space. That's all the perk you get.
So I was trying to calculate, and together I think you both have more than 70 combined years in the state legislature.
Yeah.
Is the first day of the second year, you know, more than 30 years on for each of you, still exciting in any way?
It is, yeah.
It is, and it's exciting in a different way in that you really pick up where you left off, but also where you left off last session, but also you've done some work over the summer, too, and a lot of folks want to talk to you when you first enter the State House. And when you're a newer member, you're not so ingrained into it. You can reconnect with your colleagues a lot quicker. Mm. But when you've been here a while, it takes a while to reconnect.
I'm always so honored when I come across the bridge and I see the Golden Dome.
Yeah.
And I don't care what year it is, if it's the first year that today, I'm still so honored to look up and say I'm part of that. It's just an average.
Really
Vermont, yes, I'm just an average Vermonter, like I said, and to be able to serve. My dad was here in 1960 to 72, and I took his place in the House for 4 years after he left. But it's really thrilling. I just tell people you ought to visit it or run for office because it's just an honor.
Senator Mazza, is there a particular achievement that you think on your years and think this is something you're very proud of?
Here's where I'm coming from. I introduced probably the fewest pieces of legislation of any senator. I put my emphasis on customer service, so to speak, and constituent services. And I really like to do that. As far as legislation, there's hundreds of bills being introduced, and my name is on probably one a year. So I get my satisfaction. I have a local business, and I meet people in the morning when I open my store. It's just how can I help people through the process, and I'm sure that Alice does the same, because that's really – some people are so overwhelmed by state government, and if you can make a phone call and put them in touch with sometimes their problems, it's such a good feeling.
You're downplaying your power, though, a little bit, because you know you're described in various ways as a power broker in Montpelier.
I think what I'm able to do, what I'm proud of, is to get along with both parties. Mm-hmm. And I've really, over the years, I don't care who was governor, I've always worked very well with them. As we know now, our governor is a different party. That doesn't make any difference. I support him 100%, and as I did Jim Douglas. So I think in Vermont we can do that, and it's Washington is the embarrassing part.
Yes, I agree.
you agree, Representative?
I feel the same way as Senator Mazza.
And you know, coming
there, see there. That? There's our governor right
he
here.
Heard. Here's
I was
Governor
just talking
Scott,
about
not
you.
Even on the mic, comes in and gives them both a little pat on the
I'm
back.
I'm one of his biggest supporters right there.
You timed that well. You guys were both in the cafeteria at the same time. I think you planned that.
He was on, I might add, and as chair of transportation, I had Peter Shumlin. That's one of them. Phil Scott. And
Madeline.
Madeline wasn't on my committee. It was
okay.
It was Peter Welch. I've had all three of them on my committee, and we had some great times. But our governor presently is just a super nice guy. I've been with him all these years.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Emmons, he interrupted you.
He's always interrupted me. When I was negotiating across the table from him, he interrupted me. But as Senator Mazza was saying about when you drive into Montpelier and you see the State House, there's something that comes over you. You do feel this anticipation and pride and also feeling very humble that you are elected by your folks to serve. And I think, too, when I sit in the well of the House and I look around and I look at the chandelier and at the podium and all the seats there, the 150 seats with members, I think of the history that has occurred there, all the major legislation way back before any of us were even born. And to think I'm part of that, it's very humbling.
I'm
a Vermonter. I grew up in Springfield, native of Springfield, and I just feel such an honor and such a way of really giving back to your community that you love and the state of Vermont that you love. You're part of it, and you can really contribute.
Is there something that you are most proud of?
There's a few things. One, way back in the 80s, we did a lot of major environmental legislation, and I think the biggest part of that was I really learned how to build relationships with folks across the political spectrum and between the House and the Senate. We put in a lot of major legislation without any conference committees at the end. We just did it by working it through and making compromises and agreements. The other part, of course, has been civil unions, same-sex marriage. And I think the other accomplishments are the way that we all work together as colleagues. That, to me, is where you get the most solid legislation and being able to work face-to-face with someone. You don't go through staff. You work directly with your colleagues, and you negotiate.
So that fact that nobody, you know, aside from a very few people, has a staff, still a good thing, you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, we have a lot to cover today, so I'm going to relieve you of your duties here. But I want to thank you both for coming on the program. You know, and often we get right to the hard stuff and the issues, and that's a thrill for me as a journalist. But it's really nice just to talk to both of you about your experience and perspective. Alice Emmons and Dick Mazza, thank you both very much.
Thank you for having
us.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The deans of the Vermont Legislature, longest-serving members. I'm Jane Lindholm. This is Vermont Edition. We are live at the State House in Montpelier today as the Legislature returns for the second year of this biennium. We're broadcasting from the Cedar Creek Room, a big ornate room with one of those very fancy carpets and a huge mural of the Battle of Cedar Creek along one wall. The carpet, though, actually looks pretty good considering how much of a throughway this is between the legislative chambers and the cafeteria. For legislators to do the work of the people, they need fuel. So the cafeteria is clearly one of the most important spots in this whole building. Ray Wood is the executive chef there, and he says that after 15 years on the job, he knows nearly all the faces he sees in the lunch rush at noon.
It's nice having them back there like family. I know just about everybody in the State House. I pretty much know what everybody likes. I know their account numbers. I usually try to take care of them, and we do like special dishes. We have a few that are gluten-free, a few that are vegans, a few that are vegetarians, and we make everything from scratch here, so that's why I know what's in just about everything. We have about 35 Vermont products. We have Cabot butter, we have Monument Farms milk, our homemade cookies, our Vermont eggs, Vermont flour. Harvey Smith, who's one of the representatives, has a farm, and he brings us in beef brisket a couple times a year. And there's usually a line out the door for that day. We go through about 45, 50 pounds of beef brisket for lunch that day. We serve about 300 to 400 people in lunch hour. We go through about 10 gallons of soup a day. We have a very small serving area. It's a madhouse. It's wall-to-wall people. It's a little more congenial up here. Everybody, I think they can't wait for lunch. Everybody kind of forgets their business, and it's easier for them to just come up here and relax and enjoy lunch.
That was Ray Wood, executive chef at the State House cafeteria. Ray is one of the people that keeps the State House running smoothly in the busy months of the legislative session. There's another group, though, of unsung heroes that you sometimes see scurrying around in their green coats, the legislative pages. Civic-minded 8th graders apply to serve the legislature, doing all kinds of work. Their days are long. They start at 7:30. They go to 4:30 for 6 straight weeks before a new group comes in to relieve them. And they still have to complete their schoolwork on top of that. These young Vermonters are all busy at this hour. We didn't want to keep them from their work today, but we did find someone who can explain what the job is like. Olivia Davison is from Hardwick. She's 14, and she was a page last year. Olivia, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So what do pages actually do?
Well, we are all assigned different jobs at the beginning of the day or like the beginning of our session, and we go there. Like, some people are assigned to sit at the the sergeant-at-arms office and deliver messages, and we sit during session while the House and the Senate are on the floor, and we deliver messages.
I was watching the two pages who were in the Senate chamber this morning, and they were delivering messages. And again, it's the start of the second year, but these are new pages, and they had to go right to each senator's seat. Do you get flashcards with photos so you know who's who?
Yes, we get little booklets at the beginning that has everyone's names and their faces, and if there's not a picture, it'll have The doorkeepers will give you like a description of what they look like or point them out in the halls.
Is it nerve-wracking or fun? What's the experience like?
For me, it was nerve-wracking at first because I was like scared because I was like, I'm going to have to memorize a lot of people's names and their faces. But it overall, once you find your way, it's pretty great.
Pretty great. Why? What do you feel like you got out of it last year?
I got to learn a lot about how our government works. I had a good sense of how it worked, but after working and getting to see everything happen like firsthand, I got to definitely know how everything works exactly.
You kind of have a family legacy of State House work, right? Your grandmother works at the State House and your dad was a page when he was young?
Yes. My dad was an executive messenger, so he was just the governor's page.
Which doesn't exist anymore?
It does not.
And your grandmother?
She's the journal clerk for the Secretary of the Senate.
So was it the family connection that made you want to be a page or something else?
It kind of was, but also I wanted to learn more about our government because I really didn't know that much. I mean, we did a little bit of work in past years. Like, we came in and we got to sit in, like, the House and the Senate while they were on the floor, but we didn't really go in depth or so.
So, but I understand you don't want to actually go into politics as a career.
Yeah, no, not really. I've, like, never really been interested in politics. I've always had a thing for medicine and wanting to be a doctor, so.
But this was still worthwhile to now have a better sense?
Yes, it definitely was.
What advice do you have for the new, they were called, this morning, they were called the new crop of pages?
Study a lot on faces, because it definitely helps to know, like, I made flashcards last year, and you can study with each other on, like, whenever you have a couple minutes, and it really helps.
Because otherwise you don't know who you're talking to?
Kind of, and then sometimes you, like, walking through the halls with a ton of messages, and you have to flip through your book and find exactly who you're looking for, and if you don't have a picture, well, if you don't have a picture, then you don't really know who they are, but, like, it's kind of difficult if you, like, it takes a lot longer to deliver the messages if you're just sitting there flipping through a book trying to figure out who's who, where they go, so.
How did you get your schoolwork done? Because you're doing this all day, Tuesday through Friday.
Well, there are certain times where they let us sit and do our schoolwork. The doorkeepers would let us sit for a couple minutes and do our schoolwork. And then for me, when I went to school, because we go to school on Mondays and then work Tuesday through Friday. So on Monday, I arranged a certain thing with my school. So that way I would have like a study hall all day and go in and do all my work and go to my teachers when I needed. So.
Worth it?
Yes.
Well, Olivia Davidson, thank you very much for talking with us today. I really appreciate hearing what it's like to be a legislative page.
Thank you for having me.
Olivia Davidson is a ninth grader at Hazen Union. She was a legislative page last year and was telling us a little bit about what that intense job is like. We are live from the State House today. This is Vermont Edition's annual live broadcast on opening day. We love being here. We used to be up in the coat closet. We have a much better place now here in the Cedar Creek Room. Earlier this hour, we heard from two lawmakers with more than 7 decades of combined experience in the state legislature. Now we thought we want to get the perspective of two of the newest members of this elite group. Linda Joy Sullivan is a Democrat from Dorset. Gary Nolan is a Republican from Morrisville. This is the first term in the House of Representatives for both of them. Welcome to Vermont Edition. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So what feels different this year from last year, which was, you know, the opening day for you? Linda?
I know where the cafeteria is. Sorry. how to find my way back to my committee room. And no, seriously, coming.
But that's big, actually. I mean, that must actually be a huge thing.
Coming in this year, I feel like I understand the processes better. And, of course, I know all of the other legislators, and I'm familiar more with their personalities, and it's easier to speak to everybody.
Gary?
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's you don't have to spend the first couple of weeks trying to find your way around the place. And
it's like school, right? It's like the first day of school.
Yeah, it is, and to a certain extent. And unlike Linda, I haven't been able to actually meet and get to know all the other legislators. You know, there's 150 of us here, plus the senators as well. And you don't have an awful lot of time to meet other people. You're on the House floor, and then you go right to committee room, and about the only time you have to meet people is at lunchtime or after the day's work is over. And
is that different than what your expectation was?
Well, everybody asked me if this is what I expected, and I said I have no idea because I didn't know what to expect when I got here. So I'm not disappointed. Or I think it's a great experience, and if anybody is interested in politics at all, then they ought to try to give it a try.
What made you want to give it a try?
Oh, it's a long story. Several years ago, I was a member of AGC, Associated General Contractors, and I was on a legislative committee. And actually, I was the vice president of AGC when the current governor was president. And we were asked to go, myself and another one of the board of directors was asked to come to the State House and testify on an issue. And we came down, and it happened that the other director was from Shaftesbury, and Ralph Wright was the speaker at the time, so it was a while back.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know what we were there for, and we told him, and as contractors, and he asked us what we thought, and he said, well, we think it's a good deal because it's going to be great for the contractors. It won't be quite as good for the, you know, average Joe Farmer, but that's fine with us. And well, he says, you guys, a matter of fact, I believe it was right here in Cedar Creek Room that we met him, and he said, you guys hang around right here. He said, I'll be back in a few minutes. And so he comes back, and he says, well, you guys are more than welcome to hang around for the rest of the day, but he says they won't be taking any testimony on that bill today because it's on the wall, it'll stay on the wall. And I said, boy, that's quite a lot of power for one person to have to stop that within that short a period of time. And I guess that's always stayed in the back of my mind. And then I got the opportunity, a couple of legislators and a senator tried to get me, they did convince me into running last year. And
here you are.
Here I are.
Representative Sullivan, what about for you? What made you want to run?
I've been involved in advocacy issues all of my life, and timing wise for me it was appropriate, and because of my work I was able to control my client base better. I've been a justice of the peace, I've been on the Council for Children and Family at Risk, and I've been involved in other matters, so it was a good time for me to come out and try to be a strong advocate for all my constituents.
You know, people often say one of the common complaints of government is that nobody gets anything done. Do you find that to be true here now that you're actually at the State House?
No, I think we do get things done. It might not be that every single person gets everything they want done, but I think all in, the majority of the larger work that needs to get done does get done, like our budget.
Right, you really can't leave without the budget. So what are your priorities in this second year of your first term?
I'm very prone towards protection of Vermonters. I really am looking forward to commerce, finding ways to bring business into Vermont without losing what Vermont is, but I think it's important that we spread the revenue base and we make it more affordable for Vermonters to live and stay. I don't want them to leave.
And Representative Nolan, for you, priorities?
Yeah, I guess I've got basically the same feelings that Linda does, and I'd like to try to help the economy along by maybe improving the permit process. It's very cumbersome and expensive, and most of the bigger corporations are probably the only ones that can survive the permit process financially. The company I work for, we've got several Act 250 permits, and I don't know if we'd even try to tackle too many nowadays, but it needs to be looked at in a very serious manner, along with, of course, our pollution problems for Lake Champlain and our other rivers and streams. And the company I work for is in the well drilling business, so we're certainly don't want anything that degrade the environment and our water quality, and also helps our company as well, because it helps keeping people here. You got a good clean environment. People come from all over to live in Vermont, and hopefully we can get them to stay here and create jobs for them by improving the permit process and be able to get jobs going quicker than.
Well, it sounds for both of you, you have a lot of shared priorities and maybe different tactics for it, but a lot of common ground. I appreciate both of you being here to talk to us a little bit about what it's like to be a new lawmaker. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having me.
That was Representative Linda Joyce Sullivan, a Democrat from Dorset, and Gary Nolan, a Republican from Morrisville. It's the first term for both representatives. Now, in order for Vermont Edition to broadcast from the State House each year, we need to get permission from one very special person, the Sergeant at Arms. And that person is Janet Miller. She's in front of me now. Hi, Janet. Nice to talk
with you. Hi, Jane. Thank you for having me.
What am I actually supposed to call you? Not Sergeant.
Madam Sergeant at Arms.
Madam Sergeant at Arms. Full title?
Well, that's what the Speaker calls me, but you could call me Janet Miller.
So can you describe your job, what you do? Because you are sort of the gatekeeper. You are the person who seems to know everything and everyone.
Well, I'd like to think so. But my job is actually defined in the statute. So I just read briefly to you what I actually do. So we execute the orders of the House and committee on joint rules or the House or Senate committees. We maintain order among spectators. We arrange for special meetings. We provide distribution of mail, the cafeteria. So it's a whole wide range of things that we do for the legislature, what we can do to make their job easier.
What do you like about it?
Well, I love the people. That's my main thing. And it's wonderful to work with the legislatures, but we also have all the people from the public come in. And I encourage people to come down. If you haven't been here since fourth grade, it's great. Come down.
Why? What do you recommend people see? For people who have not made a tour of the State House yet, give them the hard sell.
Well, they could come for the legislative process. We do offer tours, and if you would like to have a tour with our friends at the State House, they provide us with volunteers, and we have a tour coordinator that actually can arrange for tours for school groups or for just the average person, and we do have audio tours. Our big tour season, of course, is after the session and then through October.
Do you talk with your compatriots in other states and state houses? I mean, Vermont is in some ways quite unique. I don't know if it's actually true or just apocryphal that this is the only state house without a metal detector. And in fact, members of the public can come and go and see the legislative process. Most committee rooms are still open to the public as the committee deliberates, right?
So that's correct. And there is an organization that Sergeant at Arms belong to through the NCSL. And we're not the only state house that doesn't have a metal detector. There's about four or five. There have been states that put a metal detector in and then have taken it out. It, you know, costs a lot to have metal detectors. You know, it doesn't always keep you as safe as you might think or people. But I think the legislature here recommends that open, free state house. And many of our tourists come in and they're just in awe that they can just walk into the state house.
All right. So tell the truth. Who is the most challenging constituency to deal with? Lawmakers, tourists, lobbyists, journalists, perhaps?
Well, you know, I don't think I could answer that.
Because you're too politic?
Well, not politics, but, you know, I try to get along with everybody.
What made you want to take this job?
Well, I did have the opportunity to run for Sergeant at Arms. In my previous life, I worked at an inn for 10 years, and so I was always showcasing Montpelier and also the state of Vermont. So I get to still do that with all of our tourists. And I've worked here at the State House since 1999, working with all the legislatures. And so it's a great job.
Well, we really appreciate you giving us permission to broadcast here and helping us with everything that we do here. We appreciate that. And it's really wonderful to talk with you a little bit about what the job is like. Thank you very much.
Thank you much, Jane.
Janet Miller is the Sergeant at Arms here at the State House. This is Vermont Edition's annual live broadcast from the State House on opening day of the legislative season. This is the legislature's day, but the gubernatorial administration is hanging around too. As we heard, Governor Phil Scott came through in just a moment ago, interrupting our broadcast. How rude of him. Just kidding. After all, the legislature and the governor may not always agree, but it really behooves everyone to have a good working relationship. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We are live at the State House today as lawmakers come back to start the second half of their two-year session. We have heard from some of them already, as well as others in the State House and around Montpelier, who keep the gears of government greased. Now, this is really the legislature's day, but that doesn't mean the governor and his staff aren't keenly aware of what's going on. Joining us now is Governor Phil Scott's chief of staff, Jason Gibbs. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you do around here today? Would you ordinarily be here in the Cedar Creek Room, or are you just here because we made you be here?
Well, we would be passing through, to be sure, catching up with folks who are returning to Montpelier. It's nice to welcome the legislature back to the Capitol and start the process of policy making and negotiations that will hopefully lead us to an expeditious resolution and a successful legislative session.
As chief of staff, how do you see your role? Are you a gatekeeper, attack dog, smoother over, you know, organizer? What do you see as sort of your overarching
goals? Well, it's an interesting question. It's a combination of whatever needs to be done. Try to keep the trains running on time. Think of it, to stay with the transportation metaphor, a little bit like being in air traffic control. You got to make sure that all the agencies and departments get up off the ground and they land safely, and that that everyone's aligning with the governor's top strategic priorities.
How do you feel like your interactions with lawmakers go?
I think it's generally pretty positive. I mean, it can be stressful relationships at times when folks are on different sides of debates, but we have a governor who really stresses respect and civility in the public process, and he expects us to behave accordingly. And so, you know, we really try to live up to that expectation.
Last year, at the end of the first half of the session, there was a lot of tension around teacher contracts, around a couple of gubernatorial vetoes. And it did seem like there was, you know, you're right, I think Vermont is always civil, and you compare it to some other places and maybe even the federal government, and it has a very different feel. Nonetheless, it did feel like there was tension. When January comes around and it's the second year today, is it a reset, or are those sort of old tensions carried over?
Well, certainly there's no lingering frustration from our perspective. I mean, we all have jobs to do, and we're all going to advocate for the policies that we think are in the best interest of Vermont, in particular from the governor's perspective, growing the economy, making the state more affordable, protecting the most vulnerable, doing that in a way that helps Vermonters move up the economic ladder. These are priorities, and you know, we know that the majority in the legislature share these priorities too. They just might have different roadmaps for getting there. So it's often a question of in the course of a debate reconciling the different directions that folks want to go to get to the same destination.
So tomorrow the governor is going to be delivering his State of the State address, and the budget address will come later with some more specific details and price tags attached, but the State of the State often sets a base for what the governor sees as his priorities for the coming year. What would you say are the key areas where the governor would like to see legislative action in the next few months?
So again, the governor's top strategic priorities are growing the economy, making the state more affordable, protecting the most vulnerable. Those are, you know, real simple things to talk about. Really what it boils down to is expanding the size of our workforce as a percent of our population, so getting more people trained for the jobs that are available, and also recruiting more people into Vermont. In order to do that, we have to make the state more affordable. That's going to help employers grow. We're going to have to allow wage growth to increase organically in order for people to begin to move up the economic ladder. That means holding tax rates and fees as low as possible. We're going to focus on reducing the percent of household income that's spent on housing, including your utility costs, health care, and taxes and fees. And we'll also focus on reducing the number of Vermonters who are at or below 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $75,000 a year in annual income for a family of four.
Are those all themes we're likely to see in the State of the State, or are we more likely to see a governor who picks one target? You know, he's been talking a lot about the need for dealing with the high cost of education. Could we see a one theme State of the State? I'm not asking you to give us spoilers, but I am.
Well, I think you can expect the governor to touch on a range of issues. And a lot of it's going to come down to these core issues of growing the economy and making the state more affordable. I mean, look, I think we'll hear the governor say tomorrow that in more artful words, that the crux of every problem that we have as a state and the cornerstone of every solution we have as a state is found in expanding the size of our workforce as a percent of population. We've been losing from 2010 to the end of 2016, on average, six workers from our workforce every day, and that's a function of primarily our aging demographics. So folks are aging out of the workforce, and we don't have enough young workers coming into the workforce. These are the people that pay taxes. The taxes are what Montpelier collects, and then the legislature redistributes through the appropriations process. So if we have declining workforce, we effectively have a contracting tax base in many ways, and that makes it much more difficult to do things like strengthen the social safety net, or invest in clean water, the things that we all want to do as Vermonters. So I think tomorrow the core of the governor's focus is going to be to remind us that we've got some fiscal fundamentals, some economic fundamentals that we need to shore up. And when we do that, the net result is the ability to make investments that we all value.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to that tomorrow. And Jason Gibbs, it was really a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you for being here.
Great to see you. Thank you very much.
Jason Gibbs is the chief of staff for Governor Phil Scott. Now, before we end today, we're going to return to VPR's State House reporters to look ahead to some of the big issues that legislators and the administration will be grappling with over the next few months. We heard a little bit there from Chief of Staff Jason Gibbs. But, you know, Bob Kinsel and Peter Hirschfeld are objective reporters, so they can tell us here what they think are really the big issues for the rest of the session. Nice to have you both here.
Good to be here, Jen.
Great to be here.
All right, Pete, what do you think? Big priorities.
We heard House Speaker Mitzi Johnson talk at length this morning in her welcome back speech about clean water funding. And this has been a really intractable issue for lawmakers ever since they passed legislation committing to clean water in this state. The question is, how are they going to pay for it? It's going to cost $1 billion over the next 20 years. They have not come up with a long-term revenue source for that. So I expect that to be an issue that they're spending a lot of time on this year.
And still more tension as well, again, going back to this tension between the administration and lawmakers, because there has not been a lot of agreement on how to spend, how to have a long-term spending plan for lake cleanup.
Yeah, and of course the tension between the legislature and the executive branch on this one, but also incredible tension between lawmakers themselves. I asked Mitzi Johnson this morning, what do you think about the per-parcel fee that her chairman of the House Committee on Natural Resources and Wildlife is proposing to pay for this? And she said, well, I have some real concerns about that. There's a lot of upfront administrative costs. So there is no single plan that they have galvanized around going into the session. It's going to be interesting to see how they work to come to consensus on that.
Bob, you mentioned at the very top of the hour that something like marijuana, lawmakers are already looking at that in committee today, and it's going to be on the floor tomorrow. So needless to say, likely to be a big issue, especially right now at the beginning of the session.
Absolutely. The House will consider it on the floor tomorrow. It's the personal possession approach. So individuals can possess up to an ounce of marijuana, grow a couple of plants. It's not the retail idea. It's not what California is doing right now or Colorado. It's a very small step. But there seems to be enough support in the House for this, and there certainly is in the Senate, and the governor has said he will sign this bill. So this could be wrapped up in the next week.
So if you were a betting man, you would say definitely passage of marijuana this year in some form or other?
I would say it would be very likely in the next week to 10 days.
You're a terrible bettor. So, Bob, what else? What else are you looking at here as the session, the second half of the session gets underway?
I would say education funding and property taxes. You know, the governor made this a big issue last year. He likes to talk about how few students there are in Vermont now, about 25,000 fewer than 15 years ago. Costs are going up. At some point, this becomes unsustainable. And they're looking at a 7 or 8% increase in the statewide property tax rate based on proposed budgets. That's not going to go over well at all. So it's an issue they really need to deal with, but there's no easy solution here. And, you know, the governor is locked into no tax increases, and we're going to see that with water quality. You know, he isn't going to support a bill that has a per parcel fee on it. No way. And I think we're going to see a number of issues this session where the House and Senate move in one direction and the governor says, if you do that, I'm going to veto it.
Hmm.
And it's going to set up a really contentious environment in this building.
Pete Hirschfeld, you know, we've heard from several of the guests today that helping working Vermonters is a priority, but they come at that from very different ways. And the raising the minimum wage for the state is likely to be an issue. Do you see that being a contentious one?
It is going to be a contentious issue, and you're going to see some real tension between two policies in particular, and that's mandatory paid family and medical leave, where you create a mandatory payroll tax. It creates an insurance pool that people can draw from when they need to take up to 6 weeks off to take care of a newborn or they're ill. And this idea of raising the state minimum wage to $15 an hour. The House is very bullish on paid family leave. The Senate, meanwhile, is going to be looking to get the $15 minimum wage across the finish line. So expect that to be an area with a lot of debate and a lot of tension between the two bodies.
Well, and we'll have both of you here keeping an eye on all of it. So stay with Bob Kinzel and Peter Hirschfeld for all of your State House reporting here from VPR. Thanks very much to both of you for being with us today.
Great to be with you.
Great to see you.
That's it for today for our live broadcast from the State House. Be sure to join us tomorrow afternoon at 2 when we bring you live coverage of Governor Phil Scott's State of the State address as well as analysis of his speech. Bob Kinzel and I will be doing that. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri and Matthew Smith. We have production assistance from Anna St. Marie. Our digital producers are Emily Alphen Johnson and Meg Malone. Jake Rusnak directed the show. We had special technical assistance today from Chris Albertine, Frank Alwine, Mike Sequin, and Todd Mallory. And special thanks again to Sergeant at Arms Janet Miller for all her help getting us set up. Our managing editor is Sam Gale Rosen. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.